we know yet.
Speak out, you know.
Yeah.
People on that pulpit and speak out. And church is way back to back, but you want to hear people hear you. Maybe that's when I shout so much as I do. Oh, now
I got to
keep the mic close.
Yeah.
You guys will be able to hear what I'm doing. The Lord has given me to say. I must say, let me have a word of prayer before I begin. Heavenly Father, yes, but I'm humble spirit and submission to the will, Lord God, that I get up here this day, Lord God, and try to speak the word, Lord God, that will help encourage some, Lord God, that will edify you, Lord God, and will, Lord God, maybe even help someone who's trying to make a decision about which way to go, to the right or to the left, Lord God, to, by faith, make the right decision. Lord God, we just pray, Lord God, that all those who are going to hear this message in the future, Lord God, will be blessed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I want to thank our pastor, Reverend Jimmy West, for the opportunity to get up here and preach this morning. He asked me a couple of weeks ago if I could do this, and I said, oh yeah, I'll do this. And I must tell you, now doing this, what I'm doing, and doing it in like a couple of weeks, I understand what he's been going through week after week. I mean, having to get ready to prepare a sermon, deliver it, go and do all the visitations, got to teach classes, he's reaching out and ministering to us, and man, that's a full, and he's looking. He's got a wife. I mean, he is a lot. And and he loves it. He absolutely loves that. Ooh, and you know it only happens to God. Because I don't know about y'all. I don't like to be stressed out about things to do. I don't care how much money you're getting paid. Stress ain't going. But when you do something you love, you do it for free. You do it for free. And Pastor T.A. West has that kind of spirit. He's loving this, and he's doing it. Because God has anointed him and chosen him to do what he's doing here at the Kingdom Keys Bible Fellowship. I just want to give him a big hand. I was thought I had the message that I was going to preach, because since it was communion, I thought it was going to be a communion message, and I've been working on that and working on that, and then it just wasn't coming. And so I said, well, Lord, I'm going to teach, and then I thought, well, it's about unity, our spirits about, theme for years about unity, so I'll preach about unity, yeah.
Nice.
God don't work that way. We always say, we was talking about it in Sunday school, but we got to be listening to God. We go to God and get what he wants us to do, not what we want. So I'm going to God and say, God, I want to teach about this and this. And God said, not so. So I'm sitting there and I'm meditating, finally God's starting to move on my spirit of what I'm going to, what he wants me to preach about. And so I like to him up to like 11:30 last night, finishing up that sermon. But it was such a joy because I was hearing from God.
Right.
God was pouring something in my spirit to pour out. Yeah, I was excited. Julia, I'm always one of these people, I get up at like 3:30 in the morning and I'm getting ready to work, so I'm ready to want to be in bed by 8 something. And here God got me up to 11:30 last night. But well, praise the Lord. Well, God gave me as a sermon, faith requires work. Faith requires work. And maybe this is good because like I said, I was working. It's working. TA is a good example of the work that faith has called us to.
Mm-hmm.
This is work. Mm-hmm. When you step out for God, it's work. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to use as my scripture, James, the second chapter, verses 14 to 26.
Wait, it's scripture?
Huh?
You want
book? It's not working.
I don't think he put it in there.
Yeah, it's in there. I picked it up this morning.
Oh, it's one of those
it's
days.
Not in.
Faith requires works.
Oh, the scripture. The actual text.
Oh, wow.
I could put it in there. Let me see if it's in.
God is not
be
working.
Patient with us. Everybody we're dealing with technical glitches all morning. So we'll get caught up.
Okay. Oh.
There you go.
There you go.
Oh, your bed is handling it from the back.
Oh, your own bed. Okay, good. Thank you. So as I said, the scripture's coming from James, the second chapter, verses 14 to 26. And it reads as following. Do we have scripture?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't put it.
Just read from your Bible.
That's my fault when these technical pages.
It's okay. James chapter 2, 14 through 26.
Yeah, James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26.
What?
Okay. Got you.
Chapter 2.
And the scripture is, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can faith save him? Verse 15, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily bread, and one of you says to him, depart in peace, be warm and be filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit?
Well,
thus also by faith itself, if it does not have works, it's dead. But some will say, you have faith. And I will say, show me your faith without your works. And I will show you my faith by my works.
Yes, sir.
You believe that there is one God, you do well. Well, guess what? Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by work when he offered Isaac his son on the altar?
No.
Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect?
Mm.
And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God.
Yes, sir.
You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Mm-hmm. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messenger and sent them out by another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without our works is dead. You know, I got to keep this for you.
Yeah.
Now I don't even know if I did want to read the scriptures. Y'all forgive me if I work my way through this.
Okay.
Faith requires works.
Yes, sir.
Some of us have said we've been believers or had faith for a long time. And some of us, like Sister Irene said, she just recently gave her life to Christ and is on the faith journey.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing this scripture is pointing out to is that it's not what you say, it's what you do. Many of us call ourselves believers, and we say we'll believe because what? We'll go to church on a regular basis. That makes me a believer. Surely that makes me a believer. Or some people, they don't figure it's necessary to attend all the time, but on Easter, Christmas, and those special days, Mother's Day, and all, they'll attend and just say, oh, that makes me a Christian. But you don't have to be at church all the time to be a Christian.
Come on.
Now some say, if I just belong to the church and have my name on the roll, I don't even have to go at all. I got my name on the road. I got my line. I got my name on the dotted line. I got my insurance policy. Now, so you think of insurance? You got insurance policy. As long as you pay your premiums, you covered, right? Now, some people say the only premium was to say I gave my life to Christ. I paid my premium.
Wow.
Oh, for salvation, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I believe. But we're going to find out that James is telling me, oh, no, 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 no. That is not going to get it.
Come on.
For a Christian today, and this country throughout the world, one of the easiest things for us to say is, I believe in Jesus Christ. And I believe in it. But how many of you really live it? How many find that living and being a Christian is one of the hardest things to do? Why? Because the things is changing your life. The scripture tells out that one of the things that you as a Christian are going to be charged with, what will you do when you run into a brother or sister that's in need? They're hungry.
Come on.
And you know, how many of y'all know some hungry folks?
A lot of them.
None of y'all don't know none?
Oh, my.
Oh, some of you don't know personally, so you don't know none. But how many of y'all see those homeless people out there on the byways and highways all day long?
Everywhere.
Oh, I'm sure if you look at the news, you see them happening all the time. We got teachers now that can't even have a place to live, and you don't have it. So you know some other folks, and they need food. They'll be in front of the supermarkets. They'll be in front of the restaurant. They'll be downtown. I mean, if you ever go downtown, take the time to ride downtown and stuff or walk down. I mean, you're going to encounter them.
Sure.
And what does Jesus, what does James say? What's going to be your response to that situation? How are you going to react to that? Are you going to say, oh, yeah, I see it. Be warm, be filled. But are you going to stop and render assistance? And you know, one of the things, challenging things is, it's so many, you spend all your time helping people, right? And what did Jesus say? The poor you have with you always. And one thing I used to get kind of messed up with that because even Jesus said the poor you're going to have with you always.
Yeah.
And remember when he came to that pool of Bethesda and there was water churning, that was that one, all the people ready to be, he healed that one person. So sometimes what God is, what this scripture is trying to say, what they God thinks, is you need to look out and let your spirit be there to help that one individual. Because that's what I think God does. He says, okay, that one individual you see out there, there's something you're going to make a connection with. Somehow you make a bond with that one.
Come on, man.
You ain't trying to heal everybody. God didn't do that. God can't even do it. But God says, I do expect you to take time and notice and help that one and two individuals.
That's right.
You know, take the time to talk to them. Get to know them. Because a lot of times, that's even much more important than feeding them. Because James says, hey, have faith and don't have the works that you would stop to help that person, what good is your faith?
Where is your faith? Yeah.
What good is your faith? You see, the thing about professing to be a believer and being a believer to do works is nothing new. It's something that we've had a wrestle with all the time, all through a man's existence. Challenging our faith. Challenging us to step up to the plate. I remember the day when we was growing up and before they had government program and stuff. How many of y'all remember when you used to go to a neighbor's house and get something, you know, you rent out?
Oh, yeah.
And you go and borrow some eggs from Sister Jones, and maybe Sister Jones ran out, so this week she'd be coming and borrow milk from you, and you go buy flour and all these things. And we're very compassionate. I mean, you didn't have to bother with that. And in fact, you were expected because you were brought up that Jesus expects us to help, especially our neighbors.
Come on.
But what's one of the problems now? How many of y'all know your neighbors really well? How many of you know all of your neighbors? And, you know?
One side by side.
And see, again, so we draw back to that. But you know what? Faith says, no, you have to launch out.
Right.
See, real faith is challenging you to step out your comfort zone.
Oh, wow.
We love living our comfort zone, but you know what? One of the strangest things is we took the biggest step of faith we could ever take. You know when that was? The biggest step of faith you took.
When I gave my life to Christ.
There you go, when you give your life to Christ. That's the biggest, because what is it you're doing? You're hearing this message that you are a sinner, but there is a way to get that change, and just give it over to God,
And
you're going to get saved. All your sins are going.
Come on now.
You, by faith, accept that.
Yes, sir.
There's nothing tangible. There's nothing that you can. And once you get saved, now God says, you know what? I saved you. I want to use your life, and let's step out of here and really do some work.
Wow.
That's what it's all about. That's what faith is showing you. Faith requires work.
Yes, it does.
And again, one of the things that's troublemaker today is we don't want to do work. We want to sit in an easy chair and let somebody else go do it. When's the last time one of y'all went and did something of faith? When's the last time you really stepped out and did something of faith? Where God, you felt an urging of God to call you to do something. And you stepped out and did it. Because you know what? If you're truly walking in this Christian walk, God is always pressing at you to go do something by faith. Something that you wouldn't normally do, something you don't think you can do. Mm-hmm. See, that's the problem. We want to look at what we can do. What I can do with my resources, what I can do, what I think I can do. That's not faith. That's you. And you got to get out of the way so you can let God use you.
Mm-hmm.
See, we have put limits on God. Wow. But God said, I can open the windows of heaven and give you all more. You can exceed your abundant more than you ask and believe. Here, God, the God who saved you is saying, do not, guess what? I can do even more than that.
Yes,
that faith you got saved with, that's nothing compared to what I'm going to do now you saved.
Yeah.
And the only way you're going to experience that is through the works he wants you to do. That's what he's asking you. When you see that person that's homeless, that person who needs food, feed them, because guess what? You don't know. You could be like that woman who needed her, and she was so going back to Old Chester, I think, with Elijah, prophet Elijah. She said, you know what? I am empty. We
And prophet Elijah told her to go back. He said, if I do that, then I ain't going to have you. He said, just go and make me something. Give to me first.
And by faith, she did it.
And what happened?
Her meal,
her flour bag, her meal bag never ran dry. Because of act of faith, she did something that she knew that she didn't have nothing left.
That's right.
When she did that, there was nothing going to be nothing left. But because she was acting on faith, she saw something that couldn't and wouldn't happen otherwise.
Hallelujah.
You know, see, that's what God is working in us to try to get us to see that it's bigger than us. Faith requiring work is about something bigger than us. It's God wants to use us to get glory, because what the Bible said? Let's show forth our good works. Why? Why we need to show forth our good works? God said that men may see your good works and glorify God. Don't you know when you start doing those good works, when you start working by faith, that the glory that God wants to get is stopped? You're guilty of being a complicit in not God being made manifest in the world. You're giving devil the opportunity to get all this glory. Because we ain't stepping up to the plate. That was stepping up saying, oh yeah, y'all ain't gonna do it. Well, I'm gonna do it. And we sat back scared. Well, you know, to really bring this home, what James does is says, believe it or not, the devil, the demons believe in God. Well, y'all hear me? The demons believe in God. And what it says, they tremble. They tremble. Because they know God got the power of God.
Right.
But when God is saying for us to do something, we stand back and say, no, I'm afraid. We shouldn't be afraid to do what God's asking to do, because he's got the power. He's going to empower us. Yeah. He wouldn't have told us to do it if he wasn't empowering us to do it.
That's right.
And again, because we need reminders of what we're talking about, this scripture ends with reminders about Abraham. Now, Abraham had two children, Ishmael by the slave Rachel, or what was it? I forget the name. Oh, didn't he? Oh, well, anyway, he had Ishmael, and then his wife. God bless.
Sure.
She had the child that God really told Abraham was going to have, a child of promise, the child of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what God does to Abraham? Now, this is your only child. I mean, not your only child. This is the child of promise.
He wants to sacrifice.
God says, see him says, I want you to take that child. I want you to sacrifice him to me. I want you to take him up in the mountain and build an altar and sacrifice him. This is the faith that God has challenged. Amen. Listen to this. How many of us today, if we heard God say, you know what? I want the most precious thing you have. How many of us, when God takes a loved one we love so dearly through cancer or accident, feel so outdone? It hurts. But imagine, you're going to kill this person. You ain't going to be mad. You're going going to deliberately kill your son. This is what God said. I want you to deliberately kill this child. Sacrifice him. I want his blood. The child that I gave you, now I want back from you. Woo! My.
Imagine that.
And Abraham, without hesitating, goes and up into the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
He prepares the altar.
Yep.
Brings the wood, and he's ready to make the fire. And his son, Isaac, said, well, where's the sacrifice, Daddy? You know, hey, we need a sacrifice. Where's the sacrifice?
What's going on?
And you know, Abraham said, son, God will provide. Because God can already provide it for us. He knows God will provide him. But then he looks up. The moment he dragged him, plunged that knife into Isaac, God says, stop. I just wanted you to know how much you have faith in me now. Mm-hmm. I already know it, but I want you to know it.
Mm-hmm.
And says, take Isaac off, and there's a ram over there in the bush.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to sacrifice that.
Mm-hmm.
That faith
Creepy.
That God is calling us to, the faith that goes beyond our ability to understand.
Come on now.
And God says, that's faith. That's the works I want for each of them, just like Rahab. Another example is Rahab. She heard what was happening. The children of Israel were coming across the Jordan, getting ready to tear up Jericho.
Right.
And she called a couple of spies and said, no, you know, and the Spirit just led her, you know what? I know y'all getting to tear this place out. Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to hide y'all. I'm going to help y'all out. But, you know, when this place goes down, just remember me. You know, save me and my family.
Right.
This is a person who's not even a believer.
Mm-hmm.
She was of those people who were considered the Gentiles, or not the Gentiles, but she was of Rahab was But anyway, she was of that tribe that God was going to. She was of a tribe that God hated, the nation that God hated. And yet, she did something. I wonder if any of us would do that. She hid the men of God and saved the land. And so, that's all throughout the Bible works. See, God ain't looking for just faith. He's looking for the works that go along with it. So if you're all you're doing is you got faith and you sat down on your faith, guess what? God said, faith without works is dead. And James gets up. Now, see, you're saying I got faith, but you ain't showing me no works. But he said, I got works that will justify and demonstrate my faith.
Mm-hmm.
So question it to each and every one of us today. Do we have works to show that we have faith? Are we really guilty of that? Is that going to be evidence that's going to be brought up in heaven that goes, oh yeah, they had works of faith? Or are we going to have a blank page and it's going to be that question? Woo. Do you want that question asked of you? I don't think you really have faith. Come on, you'll slay the clean. There's no works. Not one work. Oh yeah, I know you accepted me. But what about the works? Where is that list of things that I saved you for to do? That's the question. That's what you better be looking at. You see, so from now on, you need to start doing some inventory. I challenge y'all to start doing inventory on your faith, your works.
Okay.
No, sometimes we get so comfortable thinking, well, I'm coming to church. Y'all coming here. Y'all going into the Bible study. You may even go do good works for people. No, but what about your works of faith?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just start talking about it anymore. I'm talking about the works of faith. A lot of people do volunteer work and all that kind of, but what about those works of faith? Will you step out and stop depending upon the organization that you belong to? Stop depending upon anything else but God. Because if it ain't a work that's dependent upon God, it's not a work of faith. That's what the lesson, this message about. If it's not a message where you are dependent, if it's not a work that you depend upon God for. If you haven't stepped out the boat like Peter did, walk on water. If you haven't done those things that blows your mind because you did it, because you know you couldn't have did it, and yet you did it, like Gideon. There are so many examples of what that really means. So I just challenge y'all today. Don't be one of those people that have no works. Because faith, real faith, requires works. I'm going to leave you with that. And, you know, I just, don't, this thing of faith is just going to be saying I'm probably going to be preaching it and harping on it. Because I think that's one of the most crucial issues facing us today. Faith. Not the faith that we have joined church, not the faith that we've been practicing, but the faith that says, I'm listening to God. And God's got me on fire to go do something. See, it's easy. I got faith and just keep coming to church. A lot of folks, we go say we got faith, got saved, and I got a lot of money I'm going to give to people and stuff. But what about that faith where God is asking you to go and do that, which you can't, which will blow your mind? How many of y'all got saved? How many of y'all saved? Isn't that mind blowing? Wasn't that mind blowing the moment you got saved? I cried. I mean that. God still wants that same kind of life for you now. That's the sad thing about it. God says, I want to do something exceedingly abundant above all you can ask, think, or believe, but you stopping at just getting in the door.
Wow.
And having gotten to where you can be seeing God blow your mind each and every day. Well, I'm going to close there. Let's have a closing prayer.
Faith without works is dead. Why is that? Why is faith without works dead? I can tell you, for me, there's things that I'm challenged in every day. And it's a test to see what my resolve is. And you too, you have the challenge. And I mean, I take this sermon to heart, Minister Cliff, because we have to come out of our comfort zone sometimes. It's not supposed to always feel good. You see somebody that's down and out, and you know they need help. Come on out. You can be in your car, and you can say, man, I'm rushing that person with the sign is right there with their kids. And you know, you might use the excuse, let me just use an excuse here, the person behind me, the light is getting ready to turn green. I'm going to, you know what, the person behind you may have to wait a minute. Might have to wait about 15, 20 seconds or so. Go in your wallet. If God is urging you to do so, take that money out and give that person. I mean, who are you to question, you know, what they need it for? Because they very well may need it. You know, so it does, your faith requires you to move. It requires you to do something. And bring it, that's the cliff. It's good that we're on this earth and united we stand is our theme this year. And these are things, God is watching us, what his children is made of. And I don't take it lightly. I mean, if we we're going to stand up for each other, then we stand up for each other. And we help one another. Bless you, Minister Cliff, for that message today. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful message that you sent to us here in this place, God, on faith. And all the people, all the men and women of God who showed up and showed out what they were about, thank you for all of those who were before us, God, that led the example for us. Father God, and I just pray that we can also, in the name of your Son, Jesus, do our faith in all boldness, God, and that you will receive the glory and that your people will be helped by it, God. And dear Lord, I just pray now that as we prepare to depart from this place, God, that you just bless each and every one of us, put a hedge of protection around us today, God. Bless our family members, our friends, and all of those who may be shut in and shut out, may be sick, having whatever financial troubles or whatever they're going through today. You know all and see it, God. And you will address each according to your will, God. And then, Lord, we just ask now that you just bless the food that we're about to eat and the fellowship that we partake with each other, God. And may it be a blessing that you're up in heaven smiling, God, that you see in your children, God, loving on one another. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.